Hey everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. You know, we love bringing you the latest cybersecurity news, but today we're doing a deep dive into three stories that have us going like, hold on, what?
It's a wild mix, for sure.
It is.
And what's really interesting is that these stories all kind of highlight the same underlying tension we keep seeing in cybersecurity. This struggle between keeping things secure, protecting individual privacy,
right. And
the increasing desire for control, you know, in our digital world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump right into this first story about insecure buildings.
Oh boy.
I was reading this research, and honestly, it felt like something straight out of like a hacker movie.
Really?
Researchers found a weakness in what are called access management systems. You know, those systems that control who gets in and out of buildings using like key cards, biometrics, you name it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem is, they discovered over 49,000 of these systems were misconfigured.
Wow.
And basically left wide open online.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking tens of thousands of buildings across the globe,
yeah. From
office towers to government buildings, potentially vulnerable to hackers.
49,000. That's not just a few doors left unlocked. That's like leaving the keys under the mat for an entire city.
Right.
And it's not just about someone like waltzing in the front door.
No.
The data these systems hold is really sensitive personal information, photos,
yeah. Even
biometric data like fingerprints.
That's crazy.
Think about what a hacker could do with that level of access.
Yeah.
It's not just about stealing data.
Right.
They could lock people out, create fake employee profiles to like sneak in, even mess with work schedules to cause chaos.
Okay, now I'm picturing someone hacking the access system at a power plant.
Oh, yeah.
Or a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just an inconvenience.
No.
That's a potential nightmare scenario.
Exactly. This vulnerability highlights how interconnected our physical security is with our digital world.
Oh, totally.
A lapse in one can have huge consequences in the other. And it's a stark reminder that security has to be a top priority for any organization, big or small.
It makes you think, what would happen if someone got into your workplace this way?
Yeah.
It's a chilling thought.
It is.
And a good reason to maybe double check your own security protocols.
Right? Absolutely. And the story also has another layer to it. Think about all that exposed data being
yeah. A
gold mine for things like phishing attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Hackers could use this information to craft incredibly convincing emails or messages,
yeah. Making
people much more likely to fall for their scams.
So it's not just about physical security. It's also about the ripple effect this kind of vulnerability can have on our online lives, too.
Exactly. One weak link can expose a whole chain of vulnerabilities.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've talked about buildings being left wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's shift gears to a battle that's brewing in France over privacy. And it's a fight that really has us scratching our heads a bit.
Oh, really?
We've got privacy advocates on one side and government agencies pushing for more control on the other.
It's a classic tug of war, and it's playing out in a couple of interesting ways. First, there's a proposed change to France's narco-traffic law.
Okay.
And this amendment is basically all about weakening encryption.
Really?
The idea is to force companies that provide encrypted communication services to build in backdoors for law enforcement.
Backdoors. Isn't that like creating a master key that can unlock any door,
mm-hmm. Even
if you're not supposed to have access? Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of encryption in the first place?
That's exactly what privacy advocates are arguing.
Okay.
They're saying that weakening encryption for everyone, just to potentially catch a few bad guys, makes us all more vulnerable to hackers and cyber criminals.
Yeah.
It's like saying, sure, we want to keep our city safe, but we're okay with leaving everyone's doors unlocked to do it.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And there are some big players taking a stand on this.
Like who?
Tuta, the email provider that's all about privacy,
right.
is really pushing back against this law.
Yeah.
They're basically saying it's a dangerous illusion to think that backdoors can be controlled and only used for good.
Well, yeah. Because once you create a vulnerability, it's out there.
Right.
It's only a matter of time before somebody exploits it.
Exactly.
And it might not be who you intended.
And speaking of potentially exploitable things,
uh-oh.
This French crackdown isn't just about encryption.
Oh, no.
They're also looking to put restrictions on VPNs.
Really?
Those tools that people use to protect their privacy and get around content blocks online.
Okay.
This push is being driven by groups like Canal Plus and the French Football League, who want to stop people from accessing pirated content.
Okay.
They're putting a lot of pressure on VPN providers to comply, and the fines for not playing ball are pretty hefty.
So it's like a battle between those who see VPNs as a tool for privacy
Right.
and those who see them as an enabler of illegal activity.
Yeah.
But it's not that simple, is it?
Not at all. The VPN Trust Initiative, which includes tech giants like Google and AWS,
Wow.
has actually warned that this kind of crackdown could lead to censorship. They're concerned it could be used to block access to legitimate websites and content, creating a chilling effect on free speech and internet freedom.
It's a messy situation.
Yeah.
And it definitely raises questions about how much control governments should have over our online activities, even in the name of security or stopping piracy. You know?
Right. And it's not just happening in France. We've seen similar moves in other countries like the UK and Sweden.
Wow.
Where governments are pushing for more access to user data.
Yeah.
Even if it means weakening encryption or putting restrictions on privacy tools.
It's a trend that we need to keep a close eye on, because it really does impact all of us in how we use the internet.
Absolutely. It raises a fundamental question about how we balance individual rights with security in an increasingly digital world.
Yeah, it's an ongoing debate for sure.
It's a debate that's not going away anytime soon.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered insecure buildings and privacy dattles. Ready to dive into our last story.
I do it.
This one takes us into the world of botnets.
Uh-huh.
And it involves something called the Void botnet.
Oh.
This one's a bit creepy because it involves something many of us have in our homes.
What's that?
Android TVs.
Oh.
Imagine millions of these devices secretly hijacked.
Oh, God.
And working for hackers.
Uh-oh.
That's the reality of the Void botnet, which has infected over 1.5 million devices worldwide.
1.5 million? That's like a whole country of zombie TVs.
I know, right? Okay, so what exactly does this Void botnet do? What happens when your TV gets infected?
Essentially, the botnet turns your device into a proxy server. It becomes this hidden relay point for internet traffic, which makes it really hard to track down the hackers using it for their shady business. And the Void botnet is particularly good at staying hidden.
How so?
It uses really strong encryption and something called a DGA, a domain generation algorithm.
Okay, a DTA. That sounds a bit technical.
Yeah.
Break it down for us. What does that even mean?
Think of it like this. Imagine you're trying to find a specific hacker's hideout.
Okay.
But the address keeps changing every few minutes.
Oh.
It's like trying to hit a moving target. Yeah. That's what a DGA does.
Okay.
It creates a constantly shifting network of domain names, making it almost impossible to shut down.
So it's like a giant game of whack-a-mole.
Mm.
But instead of moles, it's these infected TVs popping up all over the internet. That's a pretty clever, albeit slightly terrifying, way to hide your tracks.
It is. And what's really scary is that we still don't know exactly how these devices are getting infected in the first place.
Oh, really?
There could be a vulnerability in the Android TV operating system itself.
Yeah.
Or maybe in the way these devices are manufactured or sold. It's a bit of a mystery.
So there's a chance your Android TV could be part of this botnet without you even knowing it.
It's possible.
That's officially freaked me out.
It is a little unsettling, and it really highlights how even everyday devices can be turned against us.
Right.
But this isn't just some harmless hacker experiment. The Void botnet is being used for serious cybercrime.
Okay, so spill the tea. What kind of cybercrime are we talking about here? What are they doing with this army of zombie TVs?
One of the main things they're doing is ad fraud.
Ad fraud.
Imagine a website that pays people to click on their ads.
Yeah.
The Void botnet can generate millions of fake clicks, making it look like there's a ton of real user engagement.
Wow.
When it's actually just these infected TVs clicking away in the background.
So it's not just a security threat, it's a financial one too. Companies are losing money.
Yeah.
And advertisers are getting ripped off because their ads aren't reaching real people.
Exactly. And the scale of this thing is what's really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
The Void botnet is one of the largest we've ever seen, even bigger than the infamous Mirai botnet.
Wow.
That caused all sorts of havoc a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reminder of just how vulnerable we are in this increasingly connected world.
And how creative cyber criminals can be.
Mm.
We've covered insecure buildings, privacy battles, and now a massive botnet that can hijack your TV. Join us for part two of this deep dive, where we'll get even deeper into these stories and try to make sense of what it all means for you.
We'll also talk about what you can do to stay safe in this wild west of a digital world. Until then, stay vigilant and keep those cybersecurity shields up.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
It's time for part two of our deep dive, where we're untangling three cybersecurity stories that have us saying, like, wait, Seriously.
Yeah.
We started with those unsecured access management systems.
You know, the ones leaving 49,000 buildings practically begging to be hacked.
Right. Then we jumped into that privacy showdown in France, where encryption and VPNs are caught in the crossfire.
Uh-huh.
It's a story that really gets to the heart of how much power government should have in our digital lives.
Right, and how much privacy we're willing to give up in the name of security. Then just when you thought it couldn't get weirder, we cap things off with the Void botnet.
That massive army of zombie Android TVs, secretly working for hackers.
Over 1.5 million of them.
It's crazy. Yeah. So let's rewind and dig a little deeper into these stories.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's go back to those exposed access management systems.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm still stuck on the number.
Yeah.
49,000. It makes you wonder, how could so many organizations make such a basic security blunder?
It's a great question, and it really boils down to something we see all the time.
What's that?
A lack of awareness and understanding about cybersecurity basics. A lot of times, it's not even intentional negligence, you know?
Right.
It's just not having the right security practices in place, not keeping software up to date.
Yeah.
Not training employees on the do's and don'ts.
It's like leaving your front door wide open because you're too busy to install a lock, you know? You wouldn't do that in the real world.
Right.
But for some reason, it happens all the time in the digital world.
Exactly. And the consequences can be just as bad, if not worse.
Oh, for sure.
We're not just talking about data theft here. This could lead to physical security breaches, disruptions to things like power grids or transportation systems.
Yeah.
Imagine someone hacking into the access system for an airport or a hospital.
Oh my gosh.
It could be disastrous.
Totally.
Yeah.
So let's say you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, uh-oh, maybe my organization needs to step up its security game.
Yeah.
What can they do? What are some practical steps to take?
First things first.
Yeah.
You need to know what you're dealing with.
Okay.
Conduct a thorough security audit. Identify all your access points, both physical and digital. Figure out where you're vulnerable. Then make sure you're using strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, and encryption wherever possible.
And don't forget about those pesky software updates.
Oh.
They may seem annoying, but they often contain critical security patches.
Yes.
Ignoring them is like leaving a giant "Welcome, hacker" sign on your digital front door.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And training is absolutely key.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Make sure your employees know the basics of cybersecurity. How to spot a phishing email. How to create a strong password. Who to report suspicious activity to.
Right.
A lot of cyber attacks rely on human error. So educating your workforce can really make a difference.
It's true, because even the most sophisticated security system in the world won't help if someone accidentally clicks on a malicious link or gives away their password.
Now let's hop back over to France and that whole encryption and VPN debate.
Okay.
This story really gets to the heart of what privacy means in the digital age.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation that's happening all over the world.
It really is. It's like this constant tug of war.
Yeah.
On one side, you've got law enforcement saying they need access to encrypted data to catch criminals and prevent terrorism.
Uh-huh.
On the other side, you've got privacy advocates saying that weakening encryption makes everyone less safe.
Right.
And that it's a slippery slope to mass surveillance.
And it's not an easy question to answer. There are legitimate concerns on both sides. But what's particularly concerning about this French law is that it seems to put security above privacy without really considering the potential downsides.
Yeah, and it could set a dangerous precedent.
Yeah.
If France succeeds in weakening encryption, other countries might follow suit.
Right.
And then where does it end?
Exactly. And let's not forget about the VPN crackdown. VPNs are tools that many people use for perfectly legitimate reasons.
Oh, totally.
To protect their privacy while using public Wi-Fi, to bypass censorship in countries where internet freedom is restricted, to access content that might be blocked in their region.
I use a VPN all the time when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone snooping on my data when I'm connecting to a public Wi-Fi network at a coffee shop or airport.
Right. And the argument that VPNs are primarily used for illegal activity just doesn't hold up.
No, it doesn't. It's like saying that because some people use cars to commit crimes, we should ban cars altogether.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense. And it ignores the fact that VPNs can be crucial tools for protecting free speech and human rights.
Yeah.
Particularly in countries with repressive governments.
Right.
It all comes back to the question of balance.
Yeah.
How do we balance the need for security with the right to privacy?
That's a tough question.
It is.
With no easy answers.
Okay, so we've talked about insecure buildings, privacy showdowns. Ready for round 3 with the Void botnet.
Bring on those zombie TVs.
What's so fascinating about this story is that it really highlights just how vulnerable our everyday devices are.
Yeah.
And how interconnected everything is these days.
It's true.
We don't always think of our TVs as powerful computers.
Right.
But they are, and they can be exploited just like any other device.
And remember how we still don't know exactly how these TVs are getting infected?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what makes this even more concerning.
Right. It suggests there might be a widespread vulnerability in Android TV operating systems, or maybe even in the way these devices are manufactured.
It's like a ticking time bomb. We know there's a problem, but we don't know where it is or how to diffuse it.
Mm-hmm. And think about the potential consequences. We talked about how the Void botnet is being used for ad fraud, which costs businesses billions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
But it could also be used for other malicious purposes, like launching denial of service attacks to take down websites.
No.
Spreading malware, even stealing personal data.
So what can people do to protect themselves? Should we all just ditch our smart TVs and go back to watching reruns on those old clunky TVs?
Well, that's one way to do it, but there are less drastic steps you can take. First, make sure your Android TV is running the latest software updates. Those updates often include security patches that can fix known vulnerabilities. Think of it like getting your digital vaccines.
I like that. And be smart about what you download and install. Stick to apps from the official Google Play Store. Don't go downloading things from shady websites.
Exactly. And if you're really paranoid, you can always disconnect your TV from the internet when you're not using it.
Yeah.
That'll prevent it from being infected by a botnet. Of course, you'll miss out on all the smart features, but it's a trade-off you might be willing to make.
Yeah, it all comes back to weighing the risks and benefits. Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have, from insecure buildings to privacy battles to zombie TVs. It's been quite the whirlwind tour of the cybersecurity landscape.
And it's a landscape that keeps changing and evolving, getting more complex every day.
But it's also a landscape that we all need to be aware of. Cybersecurity is no longer just a tech issue.
Right.
It's something that affects everyone, and the more we know about it, the better equipped we'll be to protect ourselves.
So what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners today?
Stay informed, stay vigilant, and don't be afraid to ask questions. The more you know about the threats out there, the better you'll be at navigating this digital world safely.
Great advice.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with part 3 of our deep dive, where we'll wrap things up and maybe even leave you with a little bit of optimism. Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
We're wrapping up our deep dive into these 3 cybersecurity stories that really highlight this wild ride we're on in the digital age.
Yeah, we've talked about buildings being left wide open, privacy battles heating up, and zombie TVs taking over the world.
Well, maybe not taking over the world, but, you know, 1.5 million infected devices is still a pretty big deal.
It is. And through these stories, we've seen this constant push and pull between security, privacy, and control.
Uh-huh.
It feels like we're always being asked to choose one over the other.
It's a tough balance. Do we sacrifice some privacy for more security? Do we give up some control over our data to make things more convenient?
Right.
There's no easy answer.
Yeah.
And what feels like a reasonable compromise to one person might feel like a total invasion to someone else.
Right. And these debates are only going to get more heated as technology keeps advancing.
Mm.
We're not just talking about computers and smartphones anymore. It's smart homes, smart cities, self-driving cars, even medical devices that are connected to the internet.
Right.
All these things collect and transmit data, and all of them are potential targets.
And on the other side of the equation, the attackers are getting more sophisticated too, you know? They're using AI, automation, and constantly coming up with new ways to exploit vulnerabilities and stay ahead of the game.
It's like a never-ending game of cat and mouse.
It is.
With the good guys and bad guys constantly trying to outsmart each other.
It is, but it's a game with real-world consequences.
Oh, for sure.
Cyber attacks can disrupt businesses, steal identities, even put critical infrastructure at risk.
So it's not just about protecting our data. It's about protecting our way of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Cybersecurity is no longer just a niche concern for tech experts. It affects everyone.
Yeah.
And we all need to be aware of the risks and take steps to protect ourselves.
Okay, so on that slightly doom and gloom note, is there any reason for optimism? Is there any hope that we can actually win this cybersecurity battle?
I think there is, you know. It's important to remember that technology is a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or bad. And there are a lot of incredibly smart people out there working hard to develop new technologies and strategies to make us safer.
Like those researchers who found those exposed access systems.
Exactly.
They may not have been able to fix the problem themselves, but by bringing it to light,
right,
they made us all more aware and hopefully pushed some organizations to take action.
Exactly. And there are also tons of individuals and organizations fighting to protect our privacy and our digital rights. We talked about TUTA and the VPN Trust Initiative.
Yeah.
But there are so many others out there pushing back against government overreach and advocating for strong privacy protections.
So it's not a lost cause. It's an ongoing challenge,
yeah,
a battle that requires constant vigilance, innovation, and collaboration.
And it's a battle we can win if we work together. We need to educate ourselves, stay informed, and hold those in power accountable for protecting our rights and our safety in this digital world.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
But hopefully we've left you with more than just a sense of impending doom.
Right.
We want you to feel empowered,
yeah,
to understand the challenges and to know that you can make a difference.
Remember, cybersecurity is not just about protecting your devices. It's about protecting yourself. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay curious.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us on this wild ride through the world of cybersecurity. We'll be back tomorrow with more breaking news, analysis, and maybe even a few laughs along the way. Until then, stay safe online.